Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium and Gale. It's your favorite Uncle Silk.
It's Dan.
And Delatorre.
Gentlemen, we have an exciting day. We are excited to welcome, I believe it's the 26th Florida Gators football coach to our program, Billy Napier. Billy, it is a pleasure to join you this morning.
Yeah, guys. Excited about the opportunity to spend a little time with you and a ton of respect for what you're doing. We really appreciate you covering our team.
Absolutely. Well, Billy, we're excited to have you on. We're about 14 months into your tenure here at the University of Florida. Talk to us a little bit about what going into year two looks like. You know, obviously set a lot of expectations in year one, set a lot of groundwork, but what does that mean and carry over into year two?
Yeah, you know, I think the big thing is just we're, I think we understand expectations. You know, I think we're, you know, year one is very much like giving a year of your life away in terms of hiring a staff, you know, learning a new group of players, learning a new place. And it's not, you know, I think the game of football involves a lot of people, right? So it's not just players and the things that they need to do relative to learning, but it's also the entire organization, right? So everyone is very much settled in. You know, everybody's got a house. Everybody's got their kids in school. We've been fortunate, I think, for the most part at this point to retain the majority of our staff. So they're more familiar with how we operate. And certainly our players and staff, you know, just a little bit more detail, a little bit more discipline. And I think we can get a little bit more specific relative to what it takes to win.
How much smoother is the operation in year two than year one?
Man, it's unbelievable. I'm just observing. We're right in the middle of the second phase here. But things that I think last year, we had been going for 4 years at Louisiana. So a lot of things that you took for granted, you know, you hit the ground at a new place and you start and you realize the amount of work that we've done over the last 4 years to get to that level of efficiency. You know, and I think certainly the growing pains of the first year, a lot of that just has to do with teaching a new group of people our way of doing things, right? So right now, we're much further along just with the trust, the communication, the systems are established. I think the relationship part, the trust part is a big part of it. But more importantly, the detail throughout all parts, right? We've made mistakes, we've corrected, we've made mistakes, we've corrected. So I think we're closer. We continue to minimize error and get more efficient at what we do. And I'm not just talking about you know, running ball plays. I'm talking about every facet, right? Academics, nutrition, strength and conditioning, sports science, evaluation, recruitment. We know our product better. We know each other better, right? So, and I think that you combine that with, I think we've got 29 new scholarship players or something like that, you know. So a lot of positive, and certainly it's a lot more fun to come to work in the second year.
An important part of leadership, I think, is just self-improvement, self-awareness. What do you think you can improve from a head coach perspective versus last year? What areas do you think you can improve on as a head coach?
Yeah, it's a great, you know, Silk, I think that's the ultimate question, right? One of the things that we do is we ask every single part of our organization to kind of do a year in review and have a personal plan for improvement, right? Myself included, right? And I think that we do that around New Year's signing day, right? In that part, we give them a little bit of time to think about that and get more really specific, all parts of your life, not just the football part. And I think the big thing for me is just, you know, what I experienced in the first year is I think your time is divided in the first year, right, compared to maybe what I experienced in the fourth, you know, second, third, fourth year. Kind of takes you back to that first year of being a head coach at Louisiana. So, you know, a lot to do in the first year, and I think my time was divided. And I think the big thing is the connection with the players, each individual player on your team and each member of the organization, right? Going that to that extra mile to some degree to connect and know and have a pulse for each player and each part of our team. I think each part of the organization is, you know, in year two, that's where, from a leadership standpoint, I've observed all these people for a year. Now we can give them all feedback and help them get better. So I think that's the big takeaway is there's no way around the first year. You got to go through it. And I think the key is that we quality control everything. We get better. And certainly a new dynamic and a new place. And it's the fun part of the job too, right? You get a chance to do it over and do it better.
Coach, I've got a question about recruiting. You know, last year you came in December, had just a couple weeks to close the first class and then a couple months to close out the rest of that class. You spend this entire year recruiting. You guys do a great job. But specifically, how do you guys go about as a coaching staff and as a team evaluating players, not just on talent, but some of the intangibles that you look for when deciding to recruit a player or, you know, allow a player to commit and join the football program?
Yeah, Dan, I think that's a huge part of what we do. And I think in today's world, it's more important than ever relative to the portal, relative to NIL, really understanding who the player is as a person. You know, and this is college football. We're recruiting. We're not drafting like the NFL. I mean, it's important at the next level, but it's even more important, I think, at our level. And it is a part of the evaluation process, right? We have an extensive, detailed evaluation process that we go through. And one of the things that we ask the coaches to do and all parts of the recruiting process to do is to, you know, we gather information about the makeup of the kid, right, relative to what do the people in the school say about him, right? What do the teachers say, the administrators say? What do his coaches say? What do his teammates say, right? And then I think there's a little bit of judgment relative to when they come on campus. You know, you get a gut feeling for the situation. You know, who are the important people in their lives? What are their values? What's important to them? Are they, you know, how are they motivated, right? Are they intrinsic, extrinsic? And we really, in this off season, I think we're spending a little bit more time in that area. I think it's an important part. So, yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that when we give a player a grade, we're taking into account, you know, all parts of the player, not just the physical talent.
When it comes to the transfer portal, everything can kind of move quickly. How do you do all of that in a shorter time period?
Yeah. Nick, that's spot on. That's where we have spent some time in the last couple months. You know, are there some player assessments tools that we can use, right? Are there a set of questions that we can ask? The big thing, Nick, and I think you're spot on, and we talked about this. I talked to a lot of my friends about this, is you know, it's a lot like NFL free agency, but there's a million players out there, right? So you got to sort through that. So quickly, you've got to evaluate not only the physical components and try to collect as much data as you can about the player and from that piece, but also who do we know around the kid? Do we have relationships from the past? Who do we know on the staff? Who knew him in the recruiting process? And why is he in the portal? You know, ultimately what made him make the decision to get in the portal, right? So I do think that it's a big part of what we do, and it's a small window of time. And I think that that's one of the frustrations that most coaches would say is like, it's like speed dating. You got to make these decisions in a hurry, right? So we're living one of those crazy reality shows, you know, every winter and every spring. But I think the key for us has been, you know, we know someone that has inside information. We have a prior relationship with the kid, and that allows us someone that we trust speaks on the player's behalf. And then also, I think, you know, we're looking for accurate information relative to height, length, verified speed. You know, all how does the player learn? I mean, there's lots of things that contribute there. What system do they play in? How much carryover? There's a lot to be learned here from the NFL model.
And how much do you anticipate this second window, guys going in? Obviously, it'll be after spring ball. Some guys might see the writing on the wall or try to go somewhere, but it's only 2 weeks. So it's like a 45-day window just crammed into 14 days.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's probably less about the 14-day window. That's just the window where they can get in. I think the window of time is when they get in until they make the decision, right? I think ultimately. So for us, you know, I mean, we're in year two of building a program and kind of evaluating the roster and, you know, strengths, weaknesses. Is every position layered the right way relative to player retention? You know, and trying to create depth at certain spots. So, I mean, I think that we're going to have a chance to watch our team the entire semester. We'll finish up spring practice. We'll kind of know where we're at. And if we feel like we've got certain positions where we need players, then, you know, we'll evaluate the players that go into the portal and we'll try to make the best decision in the interest of the team. So I do think that so far we did a good job in year one of kind of adding a few players that contributed to our team. And then certainly very impressed so far with the players we've added in this group. You know, Bird Sherrill deserves a lot of credit. I think the plan that we put in place worked. And there's a lot of, you know, a lot of work that goes into that going all the way back, you know, to the beginning of the process. So, yeah, I think you're spot on. I don't necessarily view it. It is different, right, because that player is leaving. It's a little bit different timeline, right? I really do think at the end of spring you got to be – got to really evaluate why the player is leaving, what are the motivations there, what's the situation there, and then ultimately what needs do you have. And each individual situation, you got to see it independent of all others, try to make a good objective decision that helps the team.
Now, most of you guys off the Nick Saban, I'm going to say 100% of the guys off the Nick Saban tree could just flat out recruit. You guys are known for being elite recruitters. And recruiting has changed a little bit. Just like you said, with the speed dating, a lot of this is on the fly. How much do you adjust and do you adjust your staff to maybe fit, because of what NIL is, do you change your staff to maybe fit more of a business tactic than the traditional recruiting?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of both. You know, I think the strategy component, right, how you allocate your time throughout the entire year. You know, recruiting is not something that just happens one day, right? This is a very much a process. You got to identify potential players. You got to evaluate, go through a very extensive evaluation process. And then once you make a decision that that player fits, then you're recruiting. And I do think nowadays with NIL, there is some strategy to that. But I would say that it's just become another piece of the puzzle, right? I mean, I think it's another part of what we have to offer, if that makes sense. So, you know, this is not the first time the game has evolved, right? I mean, there's always been every year there's something new that causes you to have to adapt and evolve relative to recruiting calendar, relative to, every year you're evaluating things that you can do to improve your product and put yourself in position to create an advantage, right? So that's the great thing about where we're at right now. I feel really good about the player experience here. But I do think your point is relative. There's no doubt that there's a strategy component. I mean, especially with the NCAA rules, the state laws, and this is all new, right? So there's no blueprint for this. This has never been done before, right? So right. I think you're seeing a lot of people. It is very fluid, and I think people are adjusting every day. You know, heck, we're the state laws in this state just changed, right? So you got to adjust. Every day it's a little bit different. And this is not, college football has always been this way, right? It just happens to be, this is the hot topic this year and this time.
Billy, obviously a lot of changes happening in college football, but one of the things that I want to go back to is about coaching staff. And obviously we talked about recruiting athletes, but I want to talk about recruiting coaches and then also recruiting support staff. What do you look for when you're trying to build out not only your coaching staff, but folks that are going to be around supporting the program?
Yeah, I think number one, we're looking for a certain level of integrity and character. I'm looking for people that are authentic, that are sincere, that really do view coaching the way I view it, right? And they have a sincere care for the players. I think we all want to be productive. We all want to have success on the field. But while we're doing that, I think there's an attitude and approach. I'm looking for a selfless person, a person that can put their ego aside and work together as a team. So we kind of start there. That's number one. Oftentimes you may not have worked with people directly, but you're always relying and leaning on people that you trust, that you have experience and history with. I think the second component is a certain level of expertise at what we're asking them to do, right? So, they have the ability to be very productive relative to teaching and developing the player, right? So we talk about leading the person. That was number one, right? Then we talk about teaching the player, developing the player, that being number two. And that requires a certain level of expertise. And you got to fit within our systematic approach, our philosophy in those areas, right? So what is your history or experience? Who have you coached with? Who have you been around? What's your pedigree? And then I think the third component is the recruiting component, right? You got to recruit your area and recruit your position. I do think evaluate and recruit your area and position. That being kind of the third component. So, and we get it, the fourth and fifth part of every staff member is you got to protect and represent the University of Florida, and then you got to do a good job, be a great teammate in the building, and also I want a commitment to prioritize your family. That's kind of what we challenge our staff with, that, and certainly those things are what we evaluate when we're trying to assess whether somebody's a good fit here.
One of the biggest concerns or questions from the fan base is just play calling, offensive coordinator, and that middle eight we struggled with this past season. Anthony Richardson's gone pro, new quarterback, little competition this spring. You guys are big on analytics. How do we fix that middle eight?
Yeah, I mean, I think we execute better. You know, I mean, we're in year two. We're going to do everything systematically. We're going to be a lot better at every part of what we do. You know, we're going to communicate better. We're going to be aligned properly more often. We're going to play with less mental errors, less loafs. We're going to have less fundamental and technique flaws. And I think that, you know, we'll be a lot better coordinated and execute better in those critical moments, right? I mean, I think, you know, we've been through these things before, right? So I think, you know, I think as time goes, this is a developmental game. All players in our system last year played in our systems for the first year. We had some experienced players and some inexperienced players. And I think it's important that we remember we're not only teaching players, we're also teaching every single person in the organization. So the amount of detail and the intricacies of getting the football team ready to play, I think is I think if you had an inside look, you'd be blown away with the amount of time, effort, and energy that goes into it. So we're very multiple in all parts of our team. So as we get into year two, we'll get better. In year three, we'll get better. Not only the personnel improves, but also the coaching and the level of detail that we offer the player improves.
I got that sounded like an offer. So I'll be in the office tomorrow.
I got one more, just one more. We lost to all our rivals, and this is the first time happening in my lifetime, and a lot of the Gator fans. How do we approach this offseason? Are you making it a thing of emphasis?
Yeah, no, there's nobody that wants to win more than the people in this building. I can promise you that, right? So,
right.
You know, I think the big thing is we focus on the things that are going to help us get the result that we want, right? We, you know, I understand. We all want the lifestyle. We all want to win, right? But, you know, are we willing to live the life every day that gets the result that we want? You know, I think so.
Right.
This comes down to having the self-discipline to be focused on each day the things that are going to produce the result, right? So, you know, we got to be process-oriented. The results will come. And I think we're all competitors, and we all – some of, you know, I've been in those locker rooms, right? I know our team. I know some of the key players that are coming back in our team. And there's no one that's more important to than the people in this building and certainly the players that are returning in particular. So, you know, rivalry games are what make this, make this college football dynamic a special thing, right? So, we're well aware of the challenge, and we look forward to the next opportunities that we have.
Well, Billy, we appreciate your time this morning. Thank you so much. The 29th actual head coach of the University of Florida, Billy Napier, thanks so much for your time this morning, and go Gators.
All right, guys. Thank you all. Go Gators.
Thanks, Coach.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.